Should Darren McFadden have a statue at the University of Arkansas? That's a question Tommy and I dive into this morning.
Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Got that award right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer for those anytime easy drinking occasions.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team that's on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
Arkansas Razorback football fans got some good news yesterday as Brandon Burlesworth and Dan Hampton, former Hogs, have once again been added to the College Football Hall of Fame bracket or ballot. And one of the things that I forgot that Brandon Burlesworth's jersey is retired, which is rightfully so. The All-American, former walk-on, what he was able to do on campus was well-deserving. And I was thinking about this last night as just lying in bed, just thinking about what we were going to talk about the next day. We had Darren McFadden on about a month or so ago, and we talked to him about, hey, retired jersey, put a statue, what do you want, man? It's like, I don't get into all that, but if the right people want to retire my jersey, that's fine. And in my opinion, I don't think he should have his jersey retired because I think there's a lot of people that want to wear number 5. There's a lot of people, running backs particularly, that really want to don that number, whether it's D-Mac, whether it's Reggie Bush, whether it's other great running backs, Christian McCaffrey, that have worn that. But I'm sitting there last night, I'm thinking to myself, why does Darren McFadden not have a statue out in front of Donald W. Reynolds Razorback Stadium? And the counter to that is, well, Ty, he didn't win a Heisman. Well, Ty, he wasn't this. Well, Ty, he wasn't that. Well, my counter is, he's the greatest Razorback of all time. And there's a debate on that because his NFL career didn't match up to some others. And there's some, maybe you listening right now, of the older generation say, well, it's this guy, well, it's this guy, blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm of the impression, and many are under the impression, old Orion, that he's the greatest Razorback of all time. And I think he deserves a statue in front of Donald W. Reynolds Razorback Stadium. We're going to get in this conversation coming up here on the Morning Rush. If you want to call or text in, it's 877-377-6963. You can always listen to us on hitthatline.com, our video stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. If you have a smart speaker, just say play ESPN Arkansas. You can also find us on the TuneIn app. Saturday Down South's Michael Braddon is going to join us at 7:15 this morning, and former Razorback Austin Allen is going to join us at 8 o'clock. Tommy, does Darren McFadden deserve a statue outside of Donald W. Reynolds Razorback Stadium?
Probably. But then you bring up this conversation, Burlesworth, Dan Hampton. How do you say they don't deserve some kind of special honor of that? How do you separate the greatness of McFadden with the greatness of other players like Steve Atwater, Lance Allworth,
yeah,
Clyde Scott? The retiring of Burlesworth's jersey was almost immediately following his death. It was such a tragic way to end such a storybook.
I think.
Yeah, it was a storybook, or a fairy tale type story where he came as a walk-on and became an All-American. I mean, that's stuff you make movies about. And eventually, they did make a movie about it. They've been very reserved to retired numbers. They've been very reserved to make individual honors because there's been a lot of great, but how do you separate which ones are in and not in? Because you got NFL Hall of Famers. You got players that accomplished great things while at Arkansas. So I think usually the best way to go about these things is don't do them immediately. I think Burlesworth's situation was differently. Was different and was warranted. And just the tragic nature of the way his young life came to an end when he was on the, I mean, he was so well thought of, the Colts hung up his number in their practice facility. I mean, that's how well thought of he was by the people he was around. That's the influence he had on people. Does McFadden deserve this? Probably. But in the end, just to be devil's advocate to your points, they won a Western Division, no SEC title, no national champion. I mean, at the end of the day, he's the greatest running back to ever play at Arkansas. In our opinions, because that's what we've seen. But at the end of the day, there's still not a league title. There's still not a national title. There's still a lot of things that you could poke holes in that resume.
And that's fair. And listen, I get that. But that was not his fault. warranted?
It's a team. Championships are team reward.
And I realize that, but there's certain players.
Should he have won a Heisman? We all believe he got jobbed out of that.
So if he wins,
ultimately he didn't win.
Okay, if he wins a Heisman, is the conversation different?
Absolutely. I don't. Yes, it's different because we're not having it because it's already done.
So I just want to put logic in just on some. You're talking about poking holes. You're saying the only reason that Darren McFadden doesn't have a statue is because he didn't win the Heisman Trophy, which we've ridiculed that he didn't win the Heisman Trophy time and time again. We poked holes in every single one of those arguments in 2006 and 2007. But just to clarify, if Darren McFadden has a Heisman Trophy, you think that he has a statue right now outside of Donald W.
Let me ask you, would you rather have McFadden won the Heisman or Arkansas won the SEC title? Think about that for a second. Which would you rather have? The 2006...
We don't have a title, so yeah, take the title.
The 2006 SEC Championship. I don't know if it's that open and shut, buddy. Would you rather have had the 2006 SEC Championship and have beaten Florida or Heisman Trophy winning running back in your program and you forever have that too? Because to me, both are pretty darn good. And I'm not so sure that winning a Heisman isn't better. I mean, it's one of those...
You're just talking about a team sport, though.
I understand, but a Heisman is like the ultimate individual award, right? In sport, maybe the green jacket. And I'm not sure the green jacket at Augusta National even matches winning a Heisman. Your program as a whole goes to another level when you have a Heisman Trophy winner. My point is, if he had won the Heisman, there would already be a statue, because that is such a heralded, coveted, individual honor that it. Yes, it's an individual honor, but the whole program shares in the pride and the joy of having a Heisman Trophy winner.
Okay, so again, we've already been on the. You and I have been both on the record that he deserved a Heisman either.
It's our opinion, and he didn't win it. So in the end, I mean, you still don't have it. I think I deserve to get $1 million. You know, years ago, but I didn't get it, you know, we can keep going over things we think should have happened.
Okay. Well, I think with that, on that note, I think your logic is a little fault by saying that like that didn't happen because we've said time and time again, this is like the only time that's happened in the course of Heisman history. And the fact that a sophomore went like,
but again, he didn't win it.
So the Arkansas football team in 2006 wasn't good because they didn't win the SEC championship.
I didn't say they weren't the best though. In the end, you weren't the best. In the end, McFadden, in the eyes of the voters, wasn't the best college football player. We don't think that's correct. But in the end, that's the facts. That's what the history books say. There's no way around that. We can't rewrite history.
I think in this case, and I said it as open, and Don and Greenwood agrees with me, that he deserves a statue rather than his number being retired, because I think so many people would want to wear the number 5, whether on defense, whether on offense. I think that hurt. Like, recruiting, we talk about recruiting so much. Like, there's a lot of players, upcoming players in high school, that would want to wear number 5, but I think that he deserves a statue. Yeah. I just think that's one of the things. And
let's put that on a poll question. Would you have rather had the 2006 SEC Championship or McFadden win the Heisman?
I just, like, and thinking about it, I think it makes more sense, but you were just talking about the team stuff, and now you're
right.
Venturing to the individual stuff.
But I think a Heisman goes beyond just an individual award. You may disagree, but I think it's a big deal for your entire university, your program. Yes, it's an individual honor, but it goes beyond that, man. I mean, you look at, Cam Newton was a player at Auburn for how long? 1 year, right? He won the Heisman. Is there a statue there of him? Now, they won the national title. It went a little bit beyond that, but do you think the Heisman had anything to do with that? It's a source of pride, man. It's a sense of pride that you have a Heisman Trophy winner within your program. So I know it's an individual award, but I think it's bigger and goes beyond that, is my point. That's my perspective.
And Darren was robbed of one.
I don't disagree with that, but in the end, he doesn't have it. In the end, you don't have that box checked. We can argue that it was wrong. It was a bad call. It was whatever. But in the end, it's like a bad call that ends a game. You still lost the game. Whether you like it or not, you may have got screwed out of it, but you didn't get the W. There's no way around it.
Life's not fair sometimes.
Sometimes
I guess.
That's right.
Going to the phone lines, Mr. Eddie is calling a little early from Clarksville. Eddie, good morning. You're on the Morning Rush.
Good morning, gentlemen. And good morning to the Hog Nation.
I'm about to ask you a question about Mr. Number 5, Darren McFadden. Without a doubt, you know, there's some things in life that just irk you. And without a doubt, Darren McFadden, I've seen some good running backs, Gilman, over my time. And, of course, I grew up in a Southwest Conference. You talk about the big cat, Earl Campbell of Texas. You talk about Eric Dickerson of SMU and what a career them young men had. But you go to the SEC and you talk about Herschel Walker of Georgia, Bo Jackson of Auburn, and I've seen Darren McFadden outperform them on the playing field. What I consider one of the greatest performers of any running back I ever witnessed over 5 decades in 2007 is Baton Rouge. What a performance he put on that afternoon. Should have solidified the Heisman. Well, let's give him the Don Walker Award 2 years in a row. I tell you, he'd have been the only Heisman I'd have been, brother Darren McFadden win the Heisman. And he deserved it. And it just hurts me. And, gentlemen, I'd like to ask your opinion on that. Like I said, I see some good running backs in my time. But I've seen Darren McFadden on the playing field provide each and every time he stepped out on the field what Eddie from Quartzville calls hog delight. And he performed on the field. He saved his performance, I realize, in the NFL because he didn't have the offensive line. And he stayed hurt most of the time. But in college, he should have won the Heisman without a doubt. And we'll go down as one of the best running backs to ever play the game. Thank you for taking my call.
Eddie, appreciate your call this morning. Tommy, any disagreements there?
No, I mean, again, we don't disagree that he should have won it. We don't agree that he's the greatest of all time. But at the end of the day, we can talk about you got screwed out of it, that the voters were wrong, all of these things. At the end of the day, he didn't win it, you know. At the end of the day, you didn't win the SEC title. I mean, you start talking about things that happened and didn't happen. You can't say you won the SEC title in 06. You can't say in 06 or 07, either year, that he won the Heisman. I mean, as much as he should have, as much as the rules of the game that in that era said, well, okay, Tebow shouldn't have won it. He did. There's no way around that.
Let me just clarify on this. Your criteria for getting a statue up is either winning an SEC championship. I just want to clarify, winning an SEC championship or winning Heisman. Is that what I'm understanding?
I wouldn't say that's the only, because would you take Brandon Burlesworth out of consideration for that? My point is, if you put one up for McFadden, who else you could put one up for? Dan Hampton? You can put one up for Lance Allworth. You can put one up for Clyde Scott. You gonna what qualifies for? Because wouldn't you say that's like the highest honor in one of the highest honors in sports is they build a statue to you? Isn't it normally associated with some kind of great feat? And usually you qualify that by winning a Heisman, winning a national title, mm-hmm. at least winning a conference title. Those are they don't just build statues because you had a great season. that's all I'm saying. So okay. Where do you stop? How many are we going to build?
Okay, so on that note, didn't you just say that Darren McFadden's the greatest Razorback? Didn't you agree with me when you just said that?
He's the greatest running back in Arkansas history.
Okay, is he the greatest Razorback?
He's the greatest Razorback I've ever seen in my lifetime. I didn't see Allworth. I didn't see Clyde Scott. I was too young to really remember Dan Hampton. So is he the greatest Razorback I have ever seen? Yes, without question. My point is there needs to be some boxes checked before we just start building dadgum statues.
Okay.
Championships and I think a Heisman Trophy, to me, is in the same rare air for a university like Arkansas that doesn't have a great... This isn't USC. This isn't Alabama. We don't have one from every decade that won the dadgum Heisman. We don't have one. Not one. So it would be a huge deal, a huge source of pride for our state had he won it. And you would want to build that statue. It's just like... In basketball, if you wanted to build something outside of Bud Walton for Corliss or Nolan, something in similar lines,
well,
Nolan's got one.
Eddie's got his core practice facility.
But you know, who would you know? You at least have a box you check. What Corliss, you know, went to 2 Final Fours and won a national title. Well, okay, I mean, what boxes are you checking with McFadden? Other than, damn, he was really good.
So is the box that you're saying that Eddie checked a box in the fact that Coach Sutton? The fact that he got to a Final Four but didn't win a championship?
Well, they didn't build a statue either. They named a practice court that no one ever sees. I mean, at the end, I'm not.
But is there anything that Darren has it named after him at the U of A? To my knowledge,
I'm not disagreeing. I mean, you keep trying to paint me in this corner that I'm against you. I'm not against you. I'm just saying, where do you end it? Because how do you say McFadden's time at Arkansas just because you didn't see these other guys that it, Allworth's not as deserving? Clyde Scott's not as deserving? Dan Hampton's not as deserving? Steve Atwater? I mean, where do you end it is my point. What qualifies you for an honor like this? Is it just because you're 25 and that's what you saw when you were younger? I mean, you can't. To me, there has to be some qualifications to go about this.
Let me ask you this. If you ask, and I know I listened to Dan Hampton's interview on the Pig Trail Nation yesterday. We had Steve Atwater on. If you ask those guys, I couldn't tell you if Lance Allworth or Clyde Scott were still with us. I'm sorry if I don't know.
Lance Allworth is. Clyde Scott.
Not. If you ask those three of the four, do you think if you ask them straight up who the better player was and who would be most deserving of the statue, what do you think their response would be?
I guess you want me to say McFadden.
Well, I don't know.
I can't answer for them.
So on that note, you're talking.
Did they ever see Allworth or Clyde Scott? I mean, that's the thing. I'm not qualified to answer that completely because I don't have the perspective. We talked about this with Clay, and I believe he was talking about his dad saying he would have paid money to see Clyde Scott.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have that perspective. And film, old grainy film, doesn't exactly give you a full sense of
full circle
of what happened here compared to McFadden. We're not disagreeing on the greatness of McFadden. I'm just saying once you start building statues for people for having really great careers that don't include championships, where do you stop?
We got a question here earlier. Do you think Andrew Benintendi deserves a statue outside of Baum Walker Stadium?
I have no problem with that because he won essentially the Heisman Trophy of college baseball.
Okay.
It's the greatest individual honor you can achieve. And he went to a College World Series. If that movement began to build Benintendi some kind of something to honor his time at Arkansas, I have no issue with that based on the career he had and the honors he received.
Okay. So, and we'll continue on this conversation because it sparked a little bit this morning. Get a bunch of texts, bunch of calls. Rod, we will get to you in just a sec. It just seems like that the criteria you're laid out with the individual awards, which Darren unfortunately doesn't have to his belt, is the kind of the difference between if they had one and if they didn't, is what you're saying. We'll continue on this conversation.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a premium light lager brewed with real lemonade.
He does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
All right, going back to the phone lines, Rod is on 540 wanting to hop on the Darren McFadden conversation. Rod, you're on the Morning Rush.
Good morning. Man, I'm an old man. I've been around a while. I remember when Frank Rolls coached the Razorbacks and Atwater. And there's a lot of great players we've had. They all kind of feel like my children. But the only person I ever felt electric when they stepped on the field, I mean, really anticipating what they were going to do, that would probably be Darren McFadden. As far as naming buildings, I mean, I remember that one time they put in a new laboratory up there, Reynolds, and we were going to name it the Derek Ruskin Memorial Crapper, I believe it was. We had it on the Morning Rush one morning talking about, you know, getting a building named after him. Remember that or not, Tommy?
I've been to a lot of therapy trying to expunge that thought. Yeah.
You know, I would still name it after him. But as far as Darren McFadden, I would go for a wall of honor where you'd have, you know, Brandon Burlsworth, Darren McFadden, their numbers chiseled into granite, you know, all that stuff. I usually go for walls, but
well,
there's been so many great players.
They have a hall of honor. It's not like these players have not been honored by the university and in Burlsworth's case memorialized in other ways. But so it's not like they're forgotten. You know, Ty's suggestion is we go a step further and build a statue. And that's the conversation. So it's not like McFadden or Burlsworth or Dan Hampton or Lance Allworth or, you know, Steve Atwater haven't been remembered by the university or the program they played for.
Mm-hmm.
There are other ways. They, you know, walk the concourse. Look at the Razorback Hall of Honor. You know, and all of those things, they're included in.
Maybe it's selfish because he is from right outside the Little Rock area. Maybe it's because he was my favorite player growing up, still is my favorite Razorback of all time. But even if you weren't going to go to the extreme of getting him a statue, he needs something individual that separates him from everywhere else. Because he's the greatest Razorback of all time, in my opinion, and the key word is in my opinion, the greatest running back in the history of Arkansas football. That's undeniable. One of the greatest SEC running backs of all time. And there is not again, someone correct me if I'm wrong, but there's not an individual area within the campus of University of Arkansas that separates him from anyone else. And he needs that. He deserves that. Yep. I don't think he should have his jersey retired because I'll say it time and time again, kids like wearing number 5. That's going to hurt you. You don't want that. And if you want to honor him in some way, I think you can go about it different ways. If you don't think that's a statue, that's your opinion, it's whatever. But I just think it's unfair to Darren that, like, there's other guys out there that have significant honors at different colleges, different professional teams that didn't win an individual award, didn't win a World Series, didn't win a national championship, didn't win a Super Bowl, and they're still recognized in some way, shape, or form. And it's been 13 years since he's passed by the U of A, and there's still nothing. That's individual. I'm not talking about the team. I'm not talking about the Hall of Honor. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something to signify Darren McFadden's individuality at Arkansas. Is that fair?
Yeah. I mean, again, I don't disagree with you on the greatness of how great a player he was. You say he's the greatest Razorback of all time. I guess I'd like to throw in the word greatest Razorback player of all time, because I think we would agree the greatest Razorback of all time was Frank Broyles. So he's the greatest player to ever step on the field. Now, that I don't want to take the conversation in a different era, but or a different area, but I think that's because I've had a couple of texts already. What about Broyles? Broyles has a statue, and he is the greatest Razorback of all time. He's done more for that university than any individual. I think we'd all agree with that. So let's shelf that conversation. I've had a couple of texts already this morning about that. So shelf that. We all agree on that, right?
Yeah, no, 100%.
No disagreements.
No disagreements there. No.
Greatest player we have seen in our lifetime, perhaps, is McFadden. But again, it's our lifetime. You're 25, going to be 26 later this year, right? I'm 44. We don't have the full perspective. My point is, statues are special because there's what? Only a handful of them, a few. I go back to, if you don't have certain qualifiers, if you don't have certain things that elevate you to that point, then where do you stop? Because I think people of a different generation than us, people older than us, some that are lining up right now on hold to talk to us about this, have a different perspective about players like Lance Allworth. I don't know if we'll have anyone that saw Clyde Scott call in, because that was back in the 40s. But perhaps you would have someone as a child that had seen Clyde Smack over Scott. So just to say he's the greatest ever, he's the greatest we've ever seen. You know, what about Steve Atwater? What about Dan Hampton, who we started this conversation with, because he's on the ballot? Where do you stop? And how do you say those guys aren't deserving?
Okay, on that note, would you say I have a pretty, for my age, and we always joke about for your age, you have good hair. For my age, would you say I have a pretty good historical context of most theme sports outside of baseball?
You've done your homework more than others.
That's probably a good way to put it. So when it comes to this conversation, and then I guess the other thing is, would you say that the defensive tackle position that you're talking about, the wide receiver position, the safety position, I guess the wide receivers, would you say those have as much impact as the running back position does on a game-by-game basis?
Well, let me ask you this. Would you have been in the 06, the same team that McFadden was on, would you have been in that 06 SEC championship game without Jamal Anderson?
I could say the same thing about Marcus Monk.
I mean, exactly.
Same thing about Felix Jones.
Exactly.
Peyton Hillis when you lost him. I mean,
that up because you said defensive line. I know you're talking about Dan Hampton, but you had a great one that got drafted, what, 7th overall, if I remember right, is where Anderson went in the draft that year.
I think the Atlanta Falcons.
High draft pick. I mean,
yeah.
It's not like McFadden was the only player. He was just the best player on a collection of stiffs. I mean, there was a lot of great players on that team.
100%.
And there was other great players. And this doesn't take away from Darren's greatness, but you mentioned Felix. There's also a guy named Peyton Hillis back there that made that backfield stellar. Now, was McFadden the best amongst them? No argument there. But let's not pretend like Darren was the only great player on that football team.
I can't, because you didn't even mention Marcus Monk, and there's some others. Yeah. There's his others as well. But I'm,
Could you have achieved what you achieved as a team that year, which at the end of the day, as much as we don't want to say it, a Western Division titles as far as they got, and you lost in the Capital One Bowl to Wisconsin.
And that's fair. But again, the question I asked, not that the other players weren't important, the question I asked, what is the most impactful position on the football field? The answer we're going to go with first is quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have any arguments running back second?
I think you could make the argument in today's game that maybe wide receivers are more impactful because of the spread and the way you throw the football more than you did in 06. But in the era you're discussing in 06, the running back would have to be up near the top of the argument.
Is he two, though? That's what I'm asking.
How's the left tackle not important? I mean, again, it's a team sport.
Tommy, I get that, but you were just talking about individual stuff. Again, the question is the running back position the second most impactful on the football team? Is that a fair assessment, what I'm saying right now?
Not in today's game, no.
Okay. But then you're talking about his era.
In 06, I think with our...
McFadden have more of an impact than even Casey Dick that year?
Absolutely.
Okay.
An impact, they let him throw the ball some.
Yeah.
You know, McFadden's greatness, again, this is why he belongs in the College Football Hall of Fame, because he transformed the game with the Wildcat formation and all of these things. My only pushback is, all right, I don't have a problem with McFadden having a statue, but then how do you say Atwater doesn't deserve one, or Allworth, or just keep going down this
list? You bring up something I think kind of... I don't know if it hurts your argument, but you just said that Darren McFadden transcended the game.
And that's why they put him in the College Football Hall of Fame.
And very fair. Did Steve Atwater transcend the game? Did Dan Hampton transcend the game? Then Lance All... And again, I'm not trying to belittle any great Razorback that's played here at the University of Arkansas, but you just brought up...
But it still wasn't enough to win the Heisman. It still wasn't enough to win the dadgum SEC championship. All of that was great, but it still wasn't enough to clear the final hurdles.
Tommy, there's been several great...
It's close.
Okay.
But it's not there.
Okay, but there's been several great players over the history of college football, professional football, whatever, that haven't had the team around them to get that done. Is it fair that Darren McFadden got... If Darren McFadden is playing with Ryan Mallett, Tyler Wilson, or Brandon Allen, does he have a national championship? Does he have a Heisman Trophy?
Well, was the quarterback the reason that team didn't get over the hump? Because he had great wide receivers. He had a great offensive line. He had great running backs around him. The best Arkansas defense we've had in probably our lifetimes.
Is that a rhetorical question that the quarterback wasn't the one that they got over the hump in 2006?
Yeah, I'm asking you.
Yes.
Okay. I think that's your opinion, but they had enough around them.
Do we need to go back and look at Casey Dick and Mitch Mustang's?
I wasn't still in diapers like you during that season. All right, I know what happened that season. The team was not built around the quarterback.
I realize that, Tommy, but when you have
But you're making a statement you can't prove. If they had a better quarterback, they win the national title. You can't prove. They got their ass kicked by USC to open that season.
And Robert Johnson was playing quarterback.
I understand that, but you think one person was going to change the difference in what that 06 USC team, you think one quarterback was going to win you that ball game? You aren't paying attention to that game because they got their ass kicked.
Yeah, they did, but we just talked about that the quarterback is the most important position, the most impactful position on the college football
team. Then a freshman came in and they won, 10 straight?
Yeah, but Mitch didn't. I love Mitch Mustang, but he didn't put up good stats.
Yeah.
Like, look at his stats. He threw at least one pick a game. So, and he did not have a major impact on that team.
You weren't going to win the national title because you weren't going to beat USC. Even if you'd had Tyler Wilson or Ryan Mallett or one of those guys in their prime, I don't believe you're beating USC to open that season.
Okay, so maybe the national title thing was a little too far. That's an opinion, whatever. But to say that the quarterback wasn't the main reason that Arkansas wasn't able to get whatever hurdle, I think is incorrect.
Okay.
Because I think if you look at that season, you look at the statistics, Darren McFadden timing.
But your statement was national title.
Okay, and I just said that might be a little over the top or whatever, but to say that...
Well, that's how I answered that question.
Okay, so, but to say that the quarterback wasn't the... Or whatever hurdle, is it fair to say that that was probably the biggest... I don't know.
Well, hell, you could say if you had a better punt returner, you'd have won the SEC title game. If Reggie Fish doesn't drop the damn ball back there. So, I mean, how far you want to go with it? Because if you do, if you have a better punt returner,
I can't.
Then you win the SEC title.
I guess you really like Mitch Mustain and Casey Dick.
No, I'm just saying.
And Robert Johnson.
Again, to pinpoint it or to pigeonhole it is this one position, this one spot's the different. And your argument started with national title. That's a big leap to me.
And I backed off that.
But that's how I answered the question. You want me to stick with the answer even though you changed the damn question.
You're getting fired this
morning. Well, I mean, you come in here and you say things and then you try to twist it.
I said I backed off that, but like the thing was, Tommy, that the quarterback position, to say that wasn't the most impactful on the team, to say that wasn't, like, we talked about how many times Darren was just hurt by the fact that he didn't have a quarterback.
Absolutely. They could have used a Tyler Wilson or a Ryan Mallett. Absolutely. My point, we're going back to you're wanting to build a statue, and I'm not arguing with you. Keep trying to turn this into an argument that I don't think McFadden was great. I think McFadden was the greatest player I have ever seen.
Yeah, you said that.
My point is, at the end of the day, find me very many people that had statues built without some extenuating circumstance similar to like Brandon Burlesworth or something of that nature that didn't win a Heisman or didn't win a national title or at least a conference title. And that's what we're talking about at the end of the day. You want to build a statue, which, again, I wouldn't object to. I'm not going to stand in the way of. My point is, then, where do you quit building statues? No conference title, no Heisman Trophy, no national title. That's my only point is, generally, when you build monuments to people, there are hard, concrete accomplishments that go along with that.
Team
and individual honors. And that's my only point here that keeps getting lost in the conversation. Is at the end of the day, as great as we all agree McFadden is, none of those things happened. As much as we think he got screwed out of a Heisman, he didn't win it. As much as we think there's been games with bad calls that cost you the game, you didn't win the game at the end of the day. Arkansas didn't win a national title. They didn't win an SEC title. He didn't win the Heisman.
Mm-hmm.
Again, is he maybe still deserving of some kind of individual? I mean, if you want to build them, I just think you got to be real careful about when you start building monuments.
Okay. So,
particularly, and I don't want to get into monument conversation at all, but you know, that's a hot button right now in other parts of the world about things, because to me, that's like the greatest honor anyone could ever do for you, right? Is build a statue in your likeness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that to me is the highest bar you have to clear, and you have to check every box. That's my only point.
Okay, so on that note, is it fair to say that Arkansas is always looked down upon as a college football program, as it seems like every time a player's up for an award is in the college football realm of things that they don't get it? I know Hunter Henry and
I know
DJ
we
Williams.
Live with a major chip on our shoulder.
Okay.
Here in this state, because we generally feel like we get the shaft on everything, but the reality is that we never want to accept. We never clear the final hurdles to win the championship.
We never grab the
brass ring at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as we think we always get screwed in this state, the reality is, we always fall short on the field. We want to blame something else, or blame a call, blame an official, blame something.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is, we just didn't get it done. And we don't like to swallow that bitter pill, that nasty medicine, but that's just the reality of it. We didn't win the 69 shootout. That's the reality of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like ever since then, we can't get out of our own way on
the
things.
98, 06.
I mean, this was one of the most storied, and it's before our lifetimes, before my lifetime. You know, and you constantly remind everyone how much older I am than you. It's before my lifetime. This was when my dad was in high school. It's like ever since the 69 game, we had a crossroads as a program. And we took the wrong road there in 1969, and ever since then, we've had this complex, this problem, this take you to the brink of greatness. This 2018 College World Series disaster. You know, all of these things continue to happen because we have this between our ears.
Inferiority complex.
Exactly. And it's like, you know, you're one of the greatest college football programs of the 60s. You win a national title, could have won two more perhaps, And you just wonder if things have been different then. Maybe the path to where you're at today looks a little different. You got close again in 78. You're at least in the conversation. Really, you haven't. 06 was about as close as you've gotten. You really weren't that close if you want to look at it.
Okay, so back to that 06 conversation with Darren. We both agree, and again, go back to this conversation. We both agree that he should have won, but we both agree they didn't win. Like, he just didn't have, he doesn't have the Heisman Trophy. So that being said, we feel like, as Arkansans and Arkansas fans, that he was wrongly not given the award he deserved. Mm-hmm. So wouldn't this be a way of, not in a sense, retribution, in a sense, vindication, by giving the statue that we think it's be a little bigger, obviously, but wouldn't that be a way of something to...
All right.
Hey, this, you didn't get this, but we know you deserved it, so here's this.
I think Jim Herrick and UCLA were cheaters in 95. You disagree with that? Arkansas should have won that national title. Didn't. I mean, you ever gotten a speeding ticket you didn't feel you deserved? I mean, there's always going to be things that you felt like you need retribution for.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is, then that's the breaks in life. I mean, sometimes it goes against you.
I know, Vince.
I don't think... Here's the thing. You can build Darren a statue outside of Reynolds Razorback Stadium honoring the greatest Razorback we've seen in our lifetime. I'm not going to go any further than that because I don't have the reference point with Allworth, Clyde Scott, and all of these other guys that I hear older guys talk about and hold in the same breath as McFadden. I don't have that reference. I can just tell you McFadden's the greatest player I've seen in my lifetime at Arkansas. Building in that statue ain't going to fix the Heisman. It ain't going to fix the fact that the only thing he really did in the end of the day in 06 was win the West.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to make us feel better and change history.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my point is, when you start building monuments, it needs to clear all the highest bars, check all the boxes.
Okay. All right, I think I've got your stance on that. Let's go to the phone lines, 877-377.
I thought I gave that to you 10 minutes ago.
6963. Miss Lisa is calling from Northeast Arkansas. Miss Lisa, we got someone else on the line, so if you could be quick, we'd appreciate it.
Well, I was talking with Bruce. Thank you for taking my call. I've been listening to y'all babble for 10 minutes.
That was good babble. That was really good babble.
No, let me tell you. No, I love Darren McFadden. He was outstanding. And he was a great Razorback. But Lance Allworth, a.k.a. Bambi, was the best running back for Arkansas. He went into the pros. He set records. And do you know how we got Lance Allworth? Any three of y'all? Do y'all know how the University of Arkansas got Lance Allworth?
Educate us, Miss Lisa.
All right. You listen to this. I'm not ready to come through this phone. So sure. Next. Woo, let me settle down. He was from right outside of Oxford, Mississippi. He was going to Ole Miss. 2 or 3 days before he went to Ole Miss, his girlfriend says, I'm pregnant. So they got married. And that Arkansas had the same clause. If you were married, you couldn't play football, which to me was discrimination, but that was the rule back then. So Frank Bowles broke the rule. He traveled down to Mississippi, and he told Lance Allworth, he said, you come to Arkansas. We'll let you play, bring your wife, and, you know, the rest is history. And I agree with Tommy. You don't build, I mean, I think Darren McFadden got screwed over twice.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, he got screwed over. And it's not, I mean, my gosh. I think Brandon Burlesworth deserves a statue. But if you're going to build a statue to a running back, you've got to look at the whole body of work. And I know Darren McFadden didn't go to that good of a team. Didn't have a good line and all that blah, 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 blah. But Lance Allworth, Bambi, did you know that his nickname was Bambi Pie?
I did, yes, ma'am.
All right. Well, I'm getting off of here and drinking some coffee. Y'all just about run me off in the ditch. Have a good day.
I did not know the story of Lance Allworth.
Oh, I didn't know that story. I knew he was Bambi.
Yeah, so I didn't know it was Bambi. That's about the extent of as far as that goes. But no, I mean, on the Darren note, we'll tie. We still got a bunch of text in and stuff on this, but if you guys want to move on, we can move on. I just think it's unfair that he really didn't have a quarterback in his time at Arkansas. I think he was having to deal with the Houston nut, Gus Malzahn crap, and his team around him. I'm not going to dispute that he had a good defense and he had good running back pieces with Felix Jones, Peyton Hillis, Marcus Monk, but I just think it's so difficult to overcome not having a quarterback in 3 years in college. And I say not having a quarterback with all due respect to Mitch Mustaine, all due respect to Casey Dick, all due respect to Robert Johnson, but if you think those guys measure up in the SEC to do what it takes to win an SEC championship or a national championship, you're kidding yourself.
Yeah. And again, I think all of us agree. Calling, talking, texting, listening. McFadden's the greatest player we've seen since Arkansas joined the SEC, for sure. And for many of us, you know, that are under the age of 40, probably the best player you've ever seen in your lifetime. Next best one beyond that would probably be Quinn Grovey. I mean, you know, certainly the greatest of a generation.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a light and flavorful beer for those easy drinking occasions.
The crowd's into it. They just threw him out of the game. He's gotten his second technical, and he's been thrown out of the ballgame.
Mike, it's been a while, man, since we've gotten a chance to talk, and I know a lot of Arkansas fans, and I saw the Arkansas Twitter account put this out, but what you said about the tandem of Barry Odom and Kendall Briles as the second-best tandem of coordinators in the SEC, why did you put them as high as you did, man? And were you surprised when you finished your list, like, wow, Arkansas's got two good ones way up there?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, definitely didn't set out to, you know, make a splash statement here, but this is basically for anyone that missed it. What I did is I just ranked every SEC coordinator, offense and defense, combined the rankings, and the lowest numbers, kind of like golf. So I got Dan Mullen and Todd Grantham as two of the best three at their positions, and I got Kendall Briles number six, Barry Odom number four, and that low score was enough to give Arkansas number two. But, you know, a lot of that has to do with the fact that Kendall Briles, just his ability to jump from job to job and work with different sets of players, like he's obviously going to be doing here in Fayetteville next year, and just the success he's had in recent seasons, I think that says a lot of just his ability to, you know, that's something that Arkansas fans are dying to see. I mean, how quickly can an offense be installed? Because, unfortunately, we all know what happened the last couple of years. It seems like if you would have given Chad Morse about 5 years, he wouldn't have had that thing installed. So kind of getting the opposite with Briles. And then Barry Odom, just got a ton of respect for his track record and everything he did at Missouri, particularly on that defensive side of the ball. If not for the offense at Missouri last year kind of cratering, I think Barry Odom is still a head coach in the SEC.
Now, in fairness, Chad was on pace for 38% of the offense to be installed by year five. So he would have eventually gotten there, I mean, based on his own statements.
Yeah, without a doubt. So you're looking the exact opposite with Kendall Briles. I mean, of course, you know, it's all guesswork how this season is going to play out. We never had a season quite like this without spring football. But just based on his track record, doesn't matter who the quarterback is, doesn't matter the players he's inheriting, Kendall Briles gets that thing up to speed year one. And that's just something that I think Arkansas fans are desperate to see.
Mike, does it worry you a little bit that he hasn't coached in the SEC yet? My dad went to Baylor, so I feel like I have a decent background of Kendall Briles. We got a chance to talk to former Baylor quarterback Seth Russell, but I'm still concerned a little bit that his offense has yet to really play week in, week out in the Southeastern Conference. Is that a concern for you at all?
No, not really. I always think that's a little overblown. I do think at times maybe a head coach who has no SEC experience that doesn't know what they're getting into when you're coming into the recruiting wars and how difficult the week in, week out can be. But in my opinion, coordinators, you know, you're just calling the plays and everything. I don't care if it's the NFL, if it's high school. If you know what you're doing, you know what you're doing. And no, that's for me, an offensive coordinator like that, given the fact that Lane Kiffin, you know, speaks so highly of this guy. We all know, I know his father obviously had the scandal there at Baylor, but besides that, I mean, just his outstanding track record, passing it down to his son, just got the job at Florida State. I mean, I think his track record speaks for itself, and I think he's going to have no issues coming in the SEC.
Talking with Saturday Down South news editor Michael Braden here on the Morning Rush. Mike, speaking of track records, some Georgia fan was getting at you yesterday talking about Sam Pittman's track record and saying, oh, he's not getting these five stars like he used to. Well, you brought up the fact that Sam's only brought in 4 or 5 stars over the course of his career, and a lot of the other guys he was able to develop as offensive linemen. What makes Sam Pittman such a good developer of those O-line?
Well, I think, he never tries to work with someone that doesn't have the, physical tools to get the job done. It seems like, I referenced the fact that all of Arkansas's current offensive line commits, they're all, I think the shortest one is about 6'4", and they're all over 300 pounds. So he gets what, these players with God-given size, and then just works with their technique. And that was surprising to me because I worked that up last offseason. I looked at every single assistant in the SEC, their entire track record, and I figured Sam Pittman probably had a couple dozen 5-stars, but just looking at the linemen he's put into the NFL, but that's not accurate. I don't believe he ever signed a 5-star until he got to Georgia. Georgia kind of recruits itself, but you're talking a guy obviously worked at Arkansas before. We all know what he did with the offensive line there at Tennessee. I mean, he inherited basically nothing on the offensive line, and by the time he left, I think 4/5 of that line went to the NFL. So, I don't know, just time and time again, Sam Pittman works with these players, gets more out of them. So, it is kind of comical that a Georgia fan would be saying, Arkansas is not going to reach expectations. And then he also kind of came back to me and said, well, they're not going to win the SEC with just 3 stars, but Razorback fans may not want to hear this, but that should not be the goal right now. The goal is to get back to respectability, and then you start talking about winning the SEC, but that may be a couple years down the line. And
the goal is to get to the Birmingham Bowl right now, as bad as that is. So, I mean, better than where you've been. Hey, you got Mike Leach as the number one offensive coordinator in your polls. They got the 14th best, in your opinion, on the defensive side, but why was Mike Leach number one in your opinion?
I just think, given his lengthy track record, I mean, we're talking 20 plus years of calling plays at college football, doing it at outposts like Texas Tech, Washington State, and of course he spent time at Kentucky. Everywhere he's been, he's just been so successful calling plays on that side of the ball, and it just doesn't seem to matter who he's got. I mean, I know this year he's got KJ Costello. That's kind of, I guess you could call that a big name, but go down the list of the quarterbacks he's had to work with. I never heard of any of these guys before they become Mike Leach quarterbacks, yet here they are throwing 4,000-5,000 yards, and just, the defenses have struggled, obviously, but that's not his side of the ball. The offense just churning out year after year after year, and I think that's just going to happen once again here at Mississippi State. That's probably one of the more intriguing, off-season hires, not only in the SEC but around the nation. I'm just fascinated to see what he can pull off there at Mississippi State. And I think he's just going to produce another elite quarterback here. And I'm just fascinated by that Mike Leach hire.
Mike, when we were discussing your rankings last week, I noticed you had Jimbo Fisher at number 5 at Texas A&M. And I just looked through it, talked about Leach at 1. You got some head coaches that are calling plays that are at 1 and 2 with Mullen. You've got head coaches as coordinators ranked ahead of a head coach that's running the offense. Should that be a concern if you're an A&M fan that, listen, your head coach is running the offense, but he's not even in the top, third of your own league? I mean, if you're an A&M guy, should you say, maybe you should hire a coordinator that maybe fits that role a little better?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I've gotten a little bit of blowback on that, but, when I look at Jimbo Fisher, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to him, but he's getting paid $75 million, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to figure out what he's done to earn that so far in the SEC. We all know the success he's had at Florida State, but, we're talking 2014, 2015, and then it's not been there. So I don't really think A&M to this point is getting value for what they're paying for. I'm not rating these coaches based on their contract. I'm rating them based on the performance I see on the field. And, you know, I know he's been trying to change the culture there, trying to change over the roster. It's not to say that Texas A&M, you know, is terrible, and I think they're poised for a really big year here in 2020. But based on this, on just based on what I've seen the last couple of years, I cannot put Jimbo Fisher into, you know, one of the top four spots based on what I've seen from that Aggie offense. And you compound that by the fact that Kellen Mond, you know, I've not really seen much of a difference between sophomore, junior Kellen Mond. And if he doesn't take a big step this year, I'm starting to question if Jimbo Fisher is still, you know, can be called a quarterback whisperer. Mm-hmm.
I guess my point is, if you're the head coach with all those responsibilities, you better be elite. You know, you better be Dan Mullen. You better be Mike Leach. You better be a Gus Malzahn who's relinquished that in order to take on that duty. If you're not elite, then you probably need to go find you someone that is in a league that demands so much.
Well, yeah, you make a good point. But at the end of the day, I mean, these guys are, you know, they're very confident in their abilities. And I would imagine Jimbo Fisher looks over at that $75 million contract and it says, you know, no one at College Station is going to tell me what to do. This is my offense, this is my scheme, and we're doing it my way. So you might be onto something there. It may be wise for him to bring in, you know, a play caller if Texas A&M doesn't take a big step this year.
Mike, isn't it, and we're speaking with Michael Braddon here, Saturday Down South news editor on the Morning Rush. Mike, isn't it insane that he doesn't have a buyout if he leaves, but he has a fat buyout if he's fired? Like, I don't know who his agent is, but whoever corked that up did his job.
Well, I would, you know, you could just say Jimmy Sexton for all these, and you're probably going to be right about 85% of the time. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of ridiculous, but that's the position I guess Texas A&M was in. You want to hire one of these elite guys, it's almost impossible to get them away from, you know, a really good program. So yeah, they may have overextended themselves, and I just hope for all the fans there in College Station, you know, the gas prices, whatever, they were trending down. They need that to trend back up if they need to get rid of Fisher.
Mike, you bring up Kellen Mond. A year ago, I guess we're coming up on SEC Media Days, Kellen Mond told the SEC media that he was the best quarterback in the SEC. He didn't live up to that. There's a couple guys that were ahead of him, whether it's Tua, whether it's Joe Burrow, and some others. This year, how much pressure do you think that's on the Texas A&M quarterback in his senior year to live up to the billing of what he said, that he was the best QB in the SEC?
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair question, and I just don't really think that he is, even at this point. I'd go with Kyle Trask there at Florida, but, you know, what you see so much of a guy, and they just kind of are what they are, you know? I mean, what we saw from Joe Burrow taking that huge leap, you got to remember that was only his second year starting at college football level. So we're going into Kellen Mond's fourth year of starting in college football, kind of similar to Jarrett Garantano, who's been at Tennessee forever. I just don't really think it's realistic to see to anticipate these guys just out of the blue making this huge step forward. Both of those players, particularly Kellen Mond's, got to be a lot more consistent. But at this point, I just don't think we're ever going to see them live up to the hype of, you know, the recruiting rankings and all this bold talk. He's just got to not cost Texas A&M games, which I think he kind of did last year.
What do you think is ahead for LSU coming off a national championship? I know Emzinger was there last year. You got Bo Pelini taking over on the defense. But a lot of changes on the coaching staff and obviously with the players as well. What is ahead, in your opinion, for LSU in 2020?
You know, I still think LSU is going to be really good. I've got a ton of respect for Coach O and what he's done. I recently, you know, we're talking about coordinator ranks here. I recently ranked the head coaches that I'd want heading into 2020. I put Coach O number one on my list over Nick Saban. So that gives you an indication of what I think of Coach O. And I just think he's making all the right moves. Bo Pelini, I thought that was a very strange hire. But, I mean, at this point, Coach O seems to be beyond questioning. And so I think Bo Pelini could be a really great fit for what they're trying to do. Obviously had a ton of success there in his previous stop at LSU. And yes, they lost a ton of talent, but they still got a lot of playmakers on that team. And they at no point even considered bringing in a transfer quarterback to compete with Miles Brennan. And they don't have anyone behind him aside from freshman players. So that should give you an indication of what they think of the new starting quarterback down there at LSU. I think LSU is going to win 9 or 10 games this year.
talking with Michael Bratton, host of That SEC Podcast here on the Morning Rush. Mike, when you look at the SEC first-year coaches, Eli Drinkwitz, Mike Leach, Lane Kiffin, and Sam Pittman, and I almost want you to put this in perspective of the fans' expectations, which coach do you think is going to have the most successful year one? Maybe not in wins, but just in relative of what their fan base actually expects this upcoming season.
Yeah, it's difficult because, like I said, obviously we all know there was no spring for most programs, so that you're just losing so much development there. But I think if I'm making a prediction on which first-year coach is going to have the most success, I think it's going to be Missouri under Eli Drinkwitz, and for the simple reason that he kept a lot of those coaches on the defensive side of the ball, including defensive coordinator Troy Walters. So you're not going to have, you know, a new system being implemented on one side of the ball. I think that's going to be a big factor there. I think the bottom of the SEC East is probably going to be a little bit easier than the SEC West. When you talk about the Mississippi schools and Arkansas, I could honestly see those programs finishing in any order. You know, I know Arkansas fans are desperate for an SEC win. I think they could beat, heck, I think they could beat any of these first-year teams, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and Missouri. I think Arkansas is probably going to win two of those games next year, but the problem for Arkansas is they scheduled that Notre Dame game, and I think that's going to be too difficult of a mountain to climb. And then, you know, Lane Kiffin got so much hype when he got hired, and I don't know, he's just fallen completely on his face here in recruiting. I know it's early, but the last cycle's not doing well. Ole Miss currently dead last in the SEC in recruiting. And you got Lane Kiffin, you know, pumping the brakes on. He just came out last week and said, well, don't expect too much from these first-year coaches. So I'm a little concerned if I'm an Ole Miss fan that Lane Kiffin, Mr. Hype Train, is pumping the brakes there. And obviously I already spoke of Mike Leach and what I think he can do at Mississippi State. So that's going to be interesting. We saw almost a little bit of a mutiny on his hands there, it seemed like, for a minute, where players leaving and many of them going almost to Ole Miss, but he had several players transfer out to Florida State this year. So I'm kind of interested to see what the buy-in is at Mississippi State. And then when you go to Sam Pittman, I've said this many times before, I think of all the hires, you know, certainly that was the one that was the most out of left field at the time, but I think he's crushed it with his hires and his moves in recruiting. I think he's been the best hire of these first-year guys. Now, does that translate immediately on the field to year one? You know, you can only do so good off the field. You got it's all about what you do on the field. And I just don't know. I like a lot of the talent the Razorbacks have, but I really question the depth, and particularly on the line of scrimmage, the talent that they have in year one. So I just don't know if that's going to necessarily translate to making a bowl game. But based on what I've seen thus far, I think I'd be most happy if I'm an Arkansas fan of any of these first-year coaches.
Mike, on the note, as we let you go, you mentioned his recruiting. Nikki Chavanel here at Rivals, who covers the Razorbacks, had this to say yesterday. Arkansas has only had 12 commits by June one time in the last decade. So you're exactly right. Sam Pittman has done a really good job on the recruiting front. Mike Bratton, host of That SEC Podcast, also the Saturday Down South news editor, had the stuff last week that has both Barry Odom and Ken O'Brien as second best pair of coordinators in the SEC. Mike, we appreciate your time this morning and making some time for us on the Morning Rush.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer, 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.